What about deadlines? I got plenty of time tonight. Boy, good night. I like this next one. What about going to church? I like going to church. I think everybody ought to go to church. I think you're out of mind if you don't go to church. Turn with me in your Bible to Acts 20, 28. Acts chapter 20. Let's start in verse 26 here. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now watch. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, that's talking to preachers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, there's a lot of doctrinal stuff in that verse. I mean, you can look at it very casually and see that it says that God purchased the church with his blood. Who died? Whose blood was shed? Jesus Christ. Which means what then? That Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. If God purchased the church with his own blood, and it was Jesus Christ that died on Calvary's cross to buy you back from the devil, that makes Jesus Christ is God. You know what Thomas called him? He said, my Lord and my God. Now, according to the first commandment, you can't have any other gods before the Lord. And you're not to bow down to them or give them worship them or give them reverence. And so if Jesus Christ was just a man, he sinned. Because he did not stop Thomas and rebuke him and say, oh, don't say that, don't say that. In the book of Revelation in chapter 22, there's an angel talking to John. And John falls down to worship the angel. And the angel said, get up, for I am of thy brethren, the prophets. He said, don't worship me, I ain't God. But Jesus Christ, when Thomas said, my Lord and my God, Jesus said, okay, pal. You know why? He's God. Is God walking around in the body of flesh? You say, explain that. You explain that. I can't. God can do whatever God wants to do. Now, so the first thing about the church is this. The church is a purchased possession. The church doesn't belong to me, and it doesn't belong to you. The church belongs to God. He bought it. That's the reason the Bible said, ye are not your own, you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord. If you're saved, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. He bought you with his blood. He redeemed you from hell. He redeemed you from sin. He redeemed you from the devil. You're his possession. Amen? Now, the church, by the way, is not this building in which we meet. The church meets in this building. You folks who are saved by God's grace and indwelt by His Spirit, you are the church. See? The church is not an organization, it's an organism. The church is a living thing. God saves you and gives you eternal life and puts you into a mystical body called the church. And so every member is a lively stone. We're all alive in Christ. And so he purchased that organism of which you're a part if you're saved. Now, he wants all those individuals to come together for fellowship, for instruction, and to worship him, and to go about doing those things that are necessary to get the gospel around the world. In order to do that, God has commanded that the people who are saved by God's grace assemble themselves together for instruction, admonition, to be rebuked, to be admonished, to bear one another's burdens, to praise God, to worship God, and to labor together. So this church that the Lord bought is supposed to meet together and get all those things done. Now, let's take your Bible Look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy 3, 15. First Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, Paul told Timothy, he said, I'm writing you these letters, so in case I don't get to come to you, you will know how to behave yourself in the house of God. First and Second Timothy are called pastoral epistles, and they deal with how to behave as a Christian and how to conduct yourself in the house of God and what's required out of its leadership, out of the pastors and the deacons and stuff. Then it says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. In this dispensation, from the death of Christ until the rapture of the church, God's place for dispensing truth is the local assembly. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, you'll hear Christians all the time say, well, I don't think you got to go to church to be a Christian. Well, who doesn't know that? I became a Christian sitting in my living room 11:30 at night. I was saved right then and there, and I was as saved as I'll ever be. I'd be saved if I didn't ever go to church again. I've never told anybody you got to go to church to be a Christian. I tell everybody you go to church because you are a Christian. I go to church because I am saved. Before I was saved, I didn't care what they were doing in that church house because I didn't care anything about pleasing the Lord. But once I got saved, I've been going to church three times a week, at least that often, for the last 23 years, because once I got saved, I, one, wanted to assemble with God's people. They're my kind. Two, I wanted to go someplace where I could be taught and instructed and admonished and encouraged to keep on keeping on for the Lord. Three, I wanted to go someplace where they're going to collect money and have a program to reach outside that church to reach the lost around the world and in our community. And I can't do that individually, but collectively, we get a lot done. Now, you're going to hear people say, well, I don't think you got to go to church. Or, I'm a Christian, but I don't go down there where all them hypocrites are. Well, you're disobeying God when you don't go. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not. That's a commandment. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25 tells you that you are not to forsake the assembling of yourself. He said, now some are. In Bible times, when Paul was writing that letter, there were already some people saying, well, I don't need to go to church. And those people always end up ignorant, uninformed, backslid, and back in sin. Now listen, the church not only teaches you the Word of God like we're doing tonight, trying to show you some things and teach you some things of the Word of God so that you'll be better informed, so that you can make better decisions. The church does a lot of other things. The church is a hedge against sin. It's hard to come down here three times a week and listen to somebody rant and rave about sin. Now, I know sometimes you get tired of it. It seems like every time we turn around, we're talking about drinking or smoking or whoring around. It's just kind of redundant. It's redundant to me. But it's hard to hear that over and over and over and over and be constantly reminded of it and have it poked out about, pointed out how bad it is and how wicked it is, and then you turn right around and lightly go do it. Amen. But now, if you don't come to church for about 6 months, and all you listen to is the television and your friends, the television and your friends can talk you into doing all kinds of things you shouldn't have done. Church is a hedge against wickedness and sin. It's where we are admonished and rebuked as well as instructed. See, tonight we're being instructed. Sunday morning, we're going to rebuke. Why? People say, well, preacher, those people are saved and they don't need all that. What you need, just tell them about the love of God and preach the good things. No, I tell the wicked and the sinners the good things and the love of God. I'm trying to entice them. trying to hold that carrot up and draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, well, man, why do you preach all the mean stuff to us? We're already saved. Yes, and we're trying to keep you clean. Amen. Trying to keep you out of trouble. Trying to keep you, get you to live your life so that God doesn't have to wail the daylights out of you. Amen. Trying to get you to live your life so that your life is a testimony for the saving grace of God. So that people can look at you and see how God has changed your life and made it better and gave you peace and joy and happiness so they'll want what you got. And so we preach as hard as we can to get you to live right, to get you to be kind and courteous and giving and have the right kind of mouth and go the right kind of places and dress the right way. We preach all that stuff so that you will be a bright and shining light in a dark world. Well, some of y'all think we do it because we don't like you. We do it because we love you. So, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And the more wicked the world becomes, the more we need to attend church. I'll be absolutely honest with you. I don't know how anybody makes it and makes a regular habit of going to church once a week. I don't know how you do it. When you hear what's on the radio these days, when you see what's on the TV these days, when you read what's in the magazines and stuff these days, how do you keep your mind stayed on God? How do you keep your thoughts clean and pure and holy and make one service a week? I don't know how it can be done. I really do not know how it can be done. I don't know how. Maybe you can come to church once a week and keep yourself out of serious trouble. But can you grow on one service a week? Most of the time, Sunday morning service is a salvation thing. Now, a lot of times in our church it's not, but in most churches it is. And a lot of times it is here. We preach a salvation message. And you're sitting there and you're saved. You say, well, man, this ain't to me. I already got that. And you twiddle your thumbs and don't pay a whole lot of attention. Well, when are you going to learn any Bible? When are you going to be admonished, rebuked, and instructed? It's going to have to be Sunday night and Wednesday night. Well, we lay out them two nights. You never are going to grow in grace enough. You're going to be a little babe in Christ till Jesus comes. We've got in the South, and it's a lot worse in the South than it is in the North, we have got in the South people who have been saved. I really believe they're saved. They are on their way to glory, and they have been in church for 30 years. And they don't know enough Bible to teach daily vacation Bible school. If you ask them point blank to give you a Bible reason why they're saved and quote and give you five verses, they'd have to die because they couldn't do it. Now that's a shame because even though they're saved, they are babes in Christ. And when it's time that they should be teachers, when they should be able to instruct others, it's necessary for somebody to come back and teach them again because they haven't learned one thing in 30 years. Amen. All right. How's my tape doing? Have I got any time left? I'm almost out real quick right there. All right.